Hoi there, chummers. Welcome back for another episode of the Hard Knock Sorority Podcast. This is the Shadowrun 4th Edition Actual Play Podcast. Our game features a pony, a dryad, a catwoman, and a college girl. The amazing cast are Beth as the pony Grace, visiting the 6th world from Equestria on a mission from Celestia herself. Kat as the gruff and mysterious dryad Deandra. Val as the mercenary with the hard outside and soft spot for Grace. And Veronica as Cecile, the college girl, who has a way of getting into trouble and under everyone's skin. This is episode 5 of season 2, and it features the whole gang again for a change. Cecile and Deandra hang out together, while Cecile does some matrix work for her. Neither seem to be in a great mood, though. Ollie hangs out with Kaylee at the clinic, and the two of them run into some trouble on the way to Hazel's bar. Grace has a chat with Dylan Pike of the Hermetic Order of the Auric Aurora, and find some common ground with him after his aloof and standoffish first impression. Finally, Prokop Skillful makes an appearance and gives the gang a job, and drops some clues, both intentionally and not. Grace eats a chocolate cake, Deandra senses fire, and Cecile walks out. For all of you who have continued to spend time with us, and for those of you joining us for the first time, I want to tell you how much I appreciate it. I really hope that you are enjoying the show, and I heartily invite you to join our Discord server and give the cast a shout. They love hearing from you. On other Shadowrun subjects, you've definitely heard of some of the great shows out there, like those crazy dudes at Pink Fohawk or my friends at the Berlin It's a Bug Not a Feature podcast. I've been listening to Pay Data, a Shadowrun podcast by the team over at Dragon's Greed Gaming. It's a great show with the cast of Shadowrun neophytes playing. Some of their other shows are pretty cool too, so definitely head over to Dragon's Greed Gaming and check them out. Anyways, I hope you guys give it a listen and enjoy. If you have a moment, drop me a message on our Discord server and let me know what you enjoy about the show, if you enjoy it, and where you think the show is going. Stay frosty, chummers. Cecile, we've done some stuff with Cecile.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any follow-up that you wanted to do on camera?
Let's see. I'm currently residing in Deandre's apartment.
Deandre, Cecile's moved back in, apparently.
You can tell by the haggard look on her face, she isn't in the mood to argue at that exact moment.
I think Deandre is also not in the mood to argue. I think Deandre just, like, let her back in, literally handed her keys and went and sat on the porch for another, like, 2 days.
Interestingly enough, that's exactly what Veronica said you would say.
What, that Deandre doesn't give two shits because she's having a mental breakdown?
Something like that.
Yeah.
So she came and she picked up all her stuff and then she left. And then she came back about 12 hours later. A little bit more than 12 hours later. Whatever plan Cecile had about moving out apparently didn't work out the way she thought it was going to.
I think I'd like to know what Cecile's reaction to Deandre doing nothing for like 2 days except like sitting on the porch and ordering the soy calf and like food through like a delivery service.
He's not your keeper. What, she's going to argue with the person paying the bills? That's nonsense. No, she's just going to, like, not make conversation.
So you guys are basically both just sort of stewing in silence in a small apartment.
Although I guess while I have a little bit of extra time, I will put some data search work into Ian Dare's thing.
All right, we can do that. Just sort of a matrix type search.
Yeah, although I can't exactly remember what I was supposed to be searching.
Lieutenant Clean is the person we have to lead on, as well right. as their
I'm trying to find information about a Clean or the Dean Dare's brother based on all of the information that I currently have.
So what were you looking for?
One Clean, Lieutenant Clean, Shadow Runner, or Dean Dare's brother, with all of the information that she has provided, like a full face, full name, probably a sin. And am I rolling?
All right, so in the first hour, you really don't find a whole lot. There wasn't really any big social media presence for Dean Dare's brother, and it faded out, you know, many years ago already, several years ago. You remember, Dean Dare did tell you that he was a mage who worked for MCT. And in the first hour, you don't find a whole lot. You don't find anything on a Clean, Lieutenant Clean.
Right.
Just sort of general run-of-the-mill information that this person did at one time exist. That is Dinder's brother, Rian.
I'm going to do it again.
Yeah, you start making some breakthroughs in the second hour. You know, start digging through some back catalogs of MCT's Matrix publications and stuff. And you find notifications that Rian was employed by MCT, and he was apparently a mage who was relatively well valued by MCT. He worked for a group called Matrix Acquisitions, which doesn't necessarily tell you very much. And then for Lieutenant Clean, you've narrowed it down to the spelling K-L-E-E-N-E, a Mitsuhama, or a MCT, an employee of MCT, apparently in their security division. But the only things that you find out about him with three hits is that he was apparently stationed in New York.
Cool. I'm going to give it one more go. Just pull at those threads. Another two hits.
All right. Where do you want to put those two hits?
Oh, I'm going to put it into figuring out what this Clean was doing in New York, you said?
He was part of a security detail in New York that provided security to MCT's C-suite employees.
Oh.
So basically a bodyguard.
Interesting. All right, I think that's where I'll leave it for right now. I'll go ahead and just walk up and tell Dean Dare what I found.
If this is still during the 2 days, I think you have a really hard time getting Dean Dare's attention. And, like, even when you do have her attention, she just, like, drifts off and stares at the end of the, like...
I will text it to her calmly after that is ineffectual.
That's how Dean Dare and Cecile are spending the next couple of days, apparently, in the apartment doing matrix searches and ignoring each other. Boxer, you're spending some more time at the clinic.
Yes.
One evening after a relatively strenuous but rewarding day, you know, helping the people of the neighborhood in Auburn that you called home for a while now. Towards the end of the day, when it's winding down, and you're both changing out of your scrubs and getting cleaned up, she sort of looks over at you and grins tiredly, and she says, buy you a beer, Boxer? You've earned it.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, what do you say we head down to Hazel's?
Sounds good.
All right. So you guys finish cleaning up and head out into the evening, Kaylee keeps fairly late hours at the clinic, so that she can, you know, catch the people coming in off the day shifts. And you guys are headed down the street towards Hazel's place when you you make a perception check. Yeah, as you're headed down there, sort of enjoying each other's company and just sort of chatting, it's a cool evening in Seattle. It's a little bit rainy, and you realize that you've picked up some people following you. You're pretty sure it's more or the same of those hoop heads that you dealt with earlier a couple of days ago.
Does Kaylee notice?
No, she doesn't. She's sort of just chatting with you, and you know, she's just enjoying. I mean, the streets are busy. It's the roads are full of traffic as always, but, and you know, you've got the factory sounds that you're used to, but also the street. There are lots of street vendors in this part of town and taverns, so there's a lot of traffic and noise. So she's sort of distracted and hasn't really picked up on the fact that you guys picked up a couple of these guys again.
Kaylee, I want, first, before I say anything, you need to keep walking, understand?
What's going on?
You know that group of anti-meta humanist fuckheads who've been in the neighborhood?
Yeah.
They're behind us. So, keep walking. I at least want to get somewhere less risky, and where you can find somewhere to take cover.
You're not going to do anything crazy, are you?
I don't think I'm going to have a choice here. We're being followed.
Yeah, we're almost at Hazel's. I mean, we could probably just duck in there, couldn't we? We better not. We don't want to take trouble to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just as you're sort of discussing this, one of them calls out to you guys, "Hey, look at the cute couple." "Not." And then another one says, "At least they aren't trying to get with real women." And then a bunch of other stuff that's getting worse and worse from there. And they've sort of pulled up right behind you. And you can tell at this point, you know, that they've, Haley looks at you and she says, "Frag this. I'm going to beat their hoops myself." And she stops and turns around.
Haley, fuck. Boxer turns too.
Yeah, there's four of them. They're wearing the standard issue for these guys. Sort of loose-fitting black clothes, black hoodies, and it's the same guy that you chased off the last time, and he's grinning insouciantly, and you see that he's got his hand on a pistol in his belt, and he says, "Yeah, not so tough now."
She's gonna silently put out a call to Vicente.
Okay.
Over her
extra voice.
Over her head. Like the embedded comlink.
Okay. Are you going with text?
I don't
text,
know if
or
you can
gonna...
speak. No,
you
I
can sub-vocalize if you have the right cyberware.
She doesn't. I knew I was going to regret taking that out. She texts. Urgent, four of the, what were they called again?
These humanist punks.
The humanist punks cornered us near Hazel's with Doc.
You get a text back and says, "Hold tight. Don't do anything dumb. Be right there." And as you're doing that, Kaylee started to get into a verbal altercation with them. And they're saying some pretty rude stuff. All of it about non-humans and that they don't belong in this neighborhood and that they should just get lost and that they don't want them here. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, she's going to step in and pull Kaylee back and pointedly and whisper that Vic's coming. She doesn't specify who he is, just assume that she knows, and she would.
Yeah, she would know. She knows Vic. And so as you pull her back and she's shouting some kind of retort to them, you hear them say something about, you know, be grateful that your girlfriend pulled you away. And, you know, then you get the sense from behind you that they're stepping closer to you again, even though you've pulled her away.
All right. Kaylee, I want you to go to ASL's. If they follow you, If they follow you, I'll handle them. But
Haley says, "No way. I'm not backing down from these punks. Screw this. This is my neighborhood too."
We aren't backing down. We're letting them fuck themselves and not fuck us. They're going to be dealt with. But you really want to get that kind of heat on your clinic? On yourself?
Mm-hmm. Ah, Fragget, you're right. All right, but be careful. And she hurries off, and they start hollering after her about, you know, being scared, and that's right, freaking Trogs, get out of our neighborhood, all that kind of stuff. And then now they're looking at you, and the leader's looking at you, and he's got his hand on his pistol, and he says, "So what's going to be? You want to dance or something? You want to try this again?"
I didn't try anything. You're the one over here. But I do feel like maybe we could talk. I know my way around this neighborhood. Maybe we can figure out something that you would like. And I guess I'd be rolling con.
Okay.
Assuming
I
even
trying to, what are you trying to con them into?
Well, she's just trying to keep them talking and not doing anything else on her talking. I guess that, yeah, con.
He glitched, and he's looking at you like, you can see sort of a odd look across his face, going, "Look at that." He sort of elbows one of his friends in the ribs, and he says, "She sent her girlfriend away, and now she's coming on to me. What the hell?"
Oh, fuck.
And he says, "Yeah, we're not into your kind, you something or rather." And he says, "You need to get off the streets. We've had been patient long enough, and you need to take the rest of your people with you. There's a day of reckoning coming."
Oh, no.
So you've got him, you keep him talking basically back and forth like this for a couple of minutes. And then Vicente's cruiser pulls up and he gets out and he's got a shotgun in his hand. Not pointed at them, but pointed in their general direction. And he walks up to you and stands next to you and says, looks at them and says, "All right, boys, move along." And they start grumbling. And Vicente shouts at the guy who's been, you've been talking with, shouts at Vicente, or says to Vicente, to Vic, he says, "Yeah, you're a traitor to your own kind. We're coming for you too." And then they turn and walk away. And Vic looks at you and he says,
"Hey, Vic, I don't know if that gun has his license. Maybe you want to check his sin?"
"Yeah, I got them all on camera. Let me give you a ride down to Hazel's."
Kaylee's there.
Good. We need to have a chat.
Yeah. Fuck. We have to deal with these people, or else they're going to keep coming back.
Yeah, I know.
And, oh, shit. That one had a gun. But I can't keep them talking forever. Eventually, they're going to realize I'm talking out my ass, and it's going to come to bullets.
Well, let's, you guys get in the vehicle, and he drives down to Hazel's. It's just like a 2-minute drive. You pull up, and Kaylee's waiting outside, and you can see that her shoulders sort of are tense, but when she sees Vic's cruiser pull up and you guys get out, she relaxes and says to you, "Geez, Ollie, I thought you'd never make it. What the heck took you so long?"
"I had to talk them down, make sure they didn't do anything stupid. And I did."
"Hey, Vic." "Yeah, she took them down," he says. "Either that or it was my shotgun that talked them down." And he sort of gives you an elbow to the ribs.
"Let's say both. But we need to deal with them permanently. And I have a feeling that Vic can help us there.
Let's get a beer. Let's talk about it over a pitcher or something."
Yeah.
You go in, Hazel greets you guys, and you pull into a booth, and she's there with your favorites, your usuals, pretty quickly, and Vic orders a pitcher, and Hazel brings it by, and he says, "So, yeah, I don't know if you guys noticed, but these guys have been on the street a lot lately, and the precinct captain doesn't seem to really care. I'm beginning to think that there's something going on. I'm the only one who's ever responding to these calls, and I'm starting to feel like I'm getting sidelined at the precinct, too. They're starting to shuffle me into shifts nobody wants, and nobody's talking to me, so what do you guys think?"
"What, you mean the poly club and the cops? I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, it's well known in the MO to have members join up in the force.
Yeah, it's not unheard of, but I thought this precinct was better than that.
You may end up having to make it better. How the hell that'll work?
Problem is, right now I can't prove anything, and I don't really know why, what they're getting out of it. There's something else. I feel like there's something else going on for these guys to just show up all of a sudden out of the blue, and you know, doesn't make sense to me, is what I'm saying.
I don't know.
Kaylee chimes in. She says, "Yeah, I've been hearing about it from my patients. They more and more, you know, non-humans or many types are just getting tired of going out and being harassed and talking about moving to a different neighborhood."
This may be something I have to deal with. If that's how it is, that's how it is.
Yeah, but what are you going to do about it? I mean, you can't just go around beating them all up.
No, but I can figure out who the ringleaders are. I have contacts who can help, I'm sure. And, well,
Vic looks at you and he says, "Well, I bet you do, but, you know, just remember, just don't get into any trouble that, you know, we can't get you out of."
I'll be fine.
Like I said, I don't think you're going to get any support from Knight Errant. I mean,
but we need to figure out how everyone else can be, not from these precincts. But that's fine. I've worked in worse conditions. And besides, I feel like I can find someone who can help.
Yeah, well, that would be appreciated. A couple of unofficial eyes and ears on the street might be helpful in this situation, but loop me in if anything gets hairy.
You're still giving out those self-defense lessons, right?
Yeah, yep. Every Wednesday night down at the Civic Centers.
You should get some of the people who are being harassed. They need something to keep them safe if those thugs decide to get aggressive, more aggressive.
Yeah, I'm afraid it's only a matter of time before somebody gets hurt.
I'll try to nail them before then, but
I think what you need to do, Boxer, is find out what's got these guys showing up in our neighborhood and starting acting all aggressive.
I have a feeling it has something to do with the precinct. I could go after them, you know, on the streets, but that's not going to do shit. They're always more fucking racists. No, we need to get the station to play ball somehow. I'll probably need your help for that.
I'll try. I'll keep my ear out. But like I said, they've sort of sidelined me a little bit.
There's something dirty. Something has its hands in there. I get that not all cops are like you, but it just doesn't stand that everyone is just off. Something is going on. Something has their fucking hands on someone up high. And, well, if it's illicit, I can find it.
All right. Cheers to that.
You just keep people safe legally, yeah?
That's what I do.
But you do.
I'm not going to, that's one thing I'm not going to do is bend the rules too far, I should say. But, you know, somebody's got to be a good cop. There have to be some good cops, he says.
Yeah. If you can find those, it makes things a lot easier.
You guys spend another couple of hours at Hazel's sort of, the topic sort of drifts away and you talk about the neighborhood a little bit. You know, talking about people you know and what's going on and stuff like that. And, you know, other than that, you know, the mood starts to shift and you guys start to have fun and some other people that you know from the neighborhood show up and you guys have a good time at Hazel's that night in spite of everything. So cutting back to Grace, Liz, have you given any thought to what Grace is doing in the next couple of days after freeing Rigor Mortis?
I honestly don't know what she can do other than, like, spend the days either, like, out reagent hunting or fighting a losing battle with a search engine trying to just learn things to research more about the Sixth World. Those are the only two things I can imagine her doing.
Yeah, old, That was Greg, right?
Yeah, Greg.
Greg doesn't, you don't hear anything from Greg. You call the Hermetic Order guy?
I'd probably text him at some point and just be like, "Hey, this is Grace Winter's Blossom, free emoji."
Yeah, he texts you back at some point and he says, and the text is simply, We're working on setting up a council meeting to discuss your application and whether we're going to proceed with
it. How long will that take? Question mark.
Not long. The council meets every week, period, and I am very interested in spending some time interviewing you and discussing the differences between our magical systems that I saw when I sensed you.
Do you mean tradition? Question mark.
He texts back, not tradition. Your magic is different than the magic that I know, which is fascinating.
Oh, that's interesting. I haven't heard that before. I actually haven't spoken to many mages. Security concerns. I look forward to speaking with you about it.
I haven't spoken to many spirits or extraplanar entities either, especially ones who could use technology the way you do. Also fascinating.
I look forward to it then. Smiley face. Oh, by the way, I just want to say there's probably a good few typos in this. Like, she just I'm not, I don't want to do it because I feel like it'd get laborious pretty quickly, but she there's typos. She does a lot of typos.
You get the distinct impression from his texting that it's also not necessarily a format that he's super comfortable with either.
How old was the dude?
Oh, he was fairly old to your, he seemed old to you. He had sort of the appearance of a Santa Claus appearance, almost like big white, bushy white beard, balding head with sort of white, his hair sort of down on his side, quite pompous and full of himself, obviously. And, sort of Dumbledore-y looking.
Ancient, basically.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask him, when is the council supposed to meet? Like, what day of the week?
He doesn't answer you back directly on that, but he texts back that they meet every week.
You do know, .. When you contact me, .. I'll know that you had agreed upon it either on that day or the day after, right? I mean, the day before, right?
What?
You're trying to hide the day that you meet. I'm pointing it out that you can't really...
Oh,
never mind.
Yes.
Sorry.
Well, obviously an extra planar being or spirit of some type, and therefore would be able to, if you knew the date, attempt to observe in the astral or something like that. We've had this happen before.
Okay, I understand. Free emotion.
Yeah, I think also at some point at this time, Grace gets a text from Miss Magnumfoot.
Oh.
And it's a query simply, are you coming home soon? Are you okay?
I am all right. I think that it would be safe for me to come home. I don't know if work is going to keep me much longer. Maybe within the week, just for reconciliation.
Good. Tree emoji.
Tree emoji. Three times with a heart, but a blue
it's
heart.
Rained here 2 days in a row. And a tree or a rain emoji.
Grace, she sends an emoji of a cat, like, licking at a faucet with the text, the harvest is bountiful.
And you get a text back from Ms. Magnumfoot that says, come back soon, your cabin misses you.
I will. Blue heart emoji. I'll see you soon. Ish.
Ish. All right, so all of this stuff has gone down. Diandir and Cecile have spent a couple of uncomfortable days hanging out in the apartment together. Cecile's done a little bit of matrix searching regarding Diandir's missing or lost or dead brother. And you've had a couple of interesting days looking for reagents, and that you had that meeting with Dylan Pike from the Hermetic Order. And Boxer's been spending a lot of time at the clinic. So on this evening, as you guys are all sort of doing your thing, you all get a text from Prokop, and it simply says, I'd like to meet with you to discuss a job. And then it has a location, and it's not the Samovar. It is a restaurant in downtown, and the meeting time is tomorrow at 6 p.m.
I imagine this is the same day D&Dare went to meet Zeke about Lay's cigarettes.
It's probably, yeah, because you did that after you had sort of snapped out of it, right?
Yeah, that snapped out of it, but I imagine the first thing D&Dare says to Cecile is, D&Dare just straight barges into wherever Cecile is and goes and, like, sneezing the whole time and is like, I'm going to get allergy meds. Do you want anything?
No.
Because I've lived in Seattle long enough now where I should have my minor allergy to pollution kick in from being a dryad.
You're okay. You look kind of worse for wear there.
It's,
you
know, a thing.
Do your makeup if you want. Like, your face is fine. It's just,
you know, it's the oddest thing. So most of my appearance is a glamour.
Mm-hmm.
So makeup doesn't really work well on me.
Wait, hold on. Run that past me again. Most of your face is a what?
A glamour. You've seen the pictures of me, right? And D&Dare, like, opens her phone to a picture of her, like, with some cop buddies, basically, like, out drinking or whatever. And it's like a regular elf in the photo.
Wow, you look a lot worse in the photo.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Where did you get this glamour?
That is a question with no answer.
What?
Where did you get your teeth?
I mean, that is sometimes a question with an answer.
Yeah, I mean, like, that they have a similar answer.
So what? You were born with a magical glamour affecting your face.
UGE and all.
Oh, wait, you're one of those, what are they, dryads?
You deserve an award.
Fuck you too, I guess.
That's the reason I'm going to get allergy meds.
I see, I didn't realize they had allergies that badly.
It's actually not an allergy, and there's only one med that works, so I might have to search a couple stores.
Have you tried magic?
Have you tried to cast magic on me?
Not recently. I can fix that if you'd prefer.
Remember when that Go-Go-Go's head exploded?
Don't remind me, but yes?
And the horse tried to heal me with magic?
I was kind of busy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I threw up all over ice.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't see what relevance this has to magic.
People kind of have difficulty casting spells on me.
Difficult doesn't mean don't try it.
Yeah, that's right. I'd prefer you didn't, though.
Yeah, I don't typically cast spells on people without, you know, having a good reason.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, something you should probably consider, walking around with a glamour that affects people's minds?
Do you think I can turn it off?
I mean, I guess not, but God, like, somebody's gonna get pissed sometime.
I guess you guys should make an opposed test here.
With what?
I think you should make an opposed... Let's see, hang on a second. We're gonna do this. Make an opposed charisma test.
Just charisma?
Just straight, yep. Charisma? Do I get my glamour app?
Yep.
Okay.
One. You're just hoping for a terrible roll. One. Wow.
That is an awful roll.
Yeah, that was, you know, the die were stacked against Cecile on that roll, and I knew that, but, you know, in spite of the fact that you have to admit that she, you know, there's an undeniable charisma, you're not being swayed by it. That's all I was really trying to achieve with that roll, is to see whether the glamour and the charisma of D&Dare was beginning to overpowering
her senses, yeah. But no, Cecile's already, like, pretty pissed with D&Dare, and, like, no amount of hot can fix a bad personality.
That is true.
Do you know D&Dare almost glitched on that one? Well, not. That's an exaggeration. There were three ones in that roll.
There are three ones in that roll. Though what's more impressive is I also rolled 3 threes.
3 ones, 3 threes, 2 fours, and 1 6. You should have edged that roll.
Should I edge it to re-roll it, even though we've already done the role playing?
Do you really care that much about Cecile liking you?
No.
Exactly.
I think the Cecile D'Andare dynamic are like each other.
Look, I'm just saying, people don't like having mind magic done at them, even if it's, you know, not technically your fault.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's your face.
Yep.
All right. So you go and meet Zeke and you get your cigarettes.
And I also go out and get allergy meds.
Yeah. When he leaves, you can just go right into that stuffer shack and pick them up right there.
Let's dig through that stuffer shack to try to find the one brand of allergy.
The next day rolls around. Are you guys going to the meet? Is anybody texting Prokop back?
I think like the second D'Andare gets the text, she like texts back, we'll be there. We'll attempt to bring Norm Girl too.
How do I react to a text like that?
So I imagine that whatever chat client you're using has like a reaction function similar to either Discord or Apple Messenger.
Well, yeah, but she can't have a GIF with a middle finger in front of in like a group text that includes someone who is technically her boss. That's
well, yeah, like... you can't. So then you send it to D'Andare directly.
If I wanted to flip D'Andare off, I could do that in person.
You could do it in Meet Space.
How about Grace and Ollie? Any special reaction from you guys, or you guys are just rolling with it?
I think Grace would probably just affirm that she plans to be there.
Boxer's just like, whatever, if they want to be bitches, fine.
The meeting's in a restaurant downtown called Stems and Pit. It's a French, sort of a fine dining French cuisine kind of affair.
Yes, Cecile will go. She's not thrilled.
Is she going to dress up?
No. Not any more than usual. She looks like business casual.
How about anybody else?
Is this a place that D'Andare knows is like a fancy place?
If she does a matrix search, she would know.
I am bad at matrix searches. I think I just default for that, right?
Well, how fancy? Is it like... like $100 bottle of wine fancy, or?
Yeah, it's something like that.
Okay, Cecile's gonna, in fact, she's probably gonna go to a store to dress up even more. Like, in fact,
isn't
I am
gonna use a fashion spell on herself?
Not fashion, but yes, makeup. She can't, like, fashion super fancy clothing like that. But she is going to do makeover as best as possible.
I'm just thinking about the time that as a dog, I fucking floated a man out of a restaurant while everyone cheered and threw him out onto the sidewalk. And then he came crawling back to us.
Yeah, okay. Cecile's makeup is on fucking point.
Yeah, with 5 hits.
And 1 drain.
Boxer, I imagine, is making no special effort.
Nope.
And Grace, are you going as the German Shepherd with the hat?
With a Johnson, or is it with Prokop?
All the message really said was, I'd like to meet with you tomorrow night to discuss a job, and it gave you the location and the time.
She'd ask who's going to be there, besides us and you.
I guess Cecile texts back, I guess I'll go.
And he comes back and he says... I will be acting as Mr. J.
Gotta love that. Another deal directly from the boss.
And she'd probably go on to ask, how discreet is this venue?
Yeah, I don't know if they'll let a dog in.
Yeah, I could be invisible, I guess. But the only issue there is that it kind of makes it hard to participate in conversation because I'm literally invisible.
You get a text back and says, worry not, private room, you are my guests.
Okay.
Spooky.
Spooky?
I'm not texting that, but I'm... If D'Andare was next to Cecile, she would hear it.
All right. So I'm assuming you all show up at the appointed time. I imagine you're not traveling together unless Cecile's going with Diandere on the motorcycle.
Cecile wants to be seen with Diandere right now.
Actually, I think Diandere is going to dress up to go out this time. Like, formal knight's dress, which is like a, not a ball gown, but like a modern dress and like a fancy sword belt.
Would either of these two express that they're going to be dressing up formally?
Nope.
Why would Cecile feel the need to say?
Okay, hold on, let me roll etiquette. To see if she'd, that's under influence, right?
Yes.
Would there be any okay, what I'm rolling for is, would she know that it might be a good idea to try and be a little bit better looking because of the setting?
A German have shepherd? Any kind of Seattle knowledge skills?
Yeah, she has area knowledge Seattle.
All right, you can add those dice to your etiquette roll.
So two, okay.
Oof.
One.
You probably have some understanding that downtown businesses are, you know, the fancier part of Seattle. You've been there. You've seen the way the people dress there.
Mm. All right. She probably has something more formal, but I don't even know if she probably wouldn't have brought it to Seattle.
Because you basically dropped everything to go to Seattle, and you haven't been back to Pine since.
Yeah, so what she's going to do is that she's going to clean her cloak and fix up her mane, like, actually, for the first time in about a year. Yeah, and also her coat and just all of the fur and hair. There you go. And
fix up her mane mean?
I mean, brushing it out, washing it, shampoo and conditioner, which they don't have where she comes from, but hair's hair.
Does it work for her?
I imagine at least the conditioner would. I don't remember what shampoo does to the hair. Doesn't it just clean the hair?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it
also takes
work.
Some of the oil, like the oil that your hair makes out of your hair. That's why you put vegetable oil back into it.
I didn't know that.
So, Boxer, you're towards the afternoon, late afternoon of the day, you see Grace seems to be making some kind of effort to clean up and fancy up her mane and clean her clothes.
Now you know I have a spell. It's so convenient.
I was just wondering if it was going to nudge Ollie into doing something.
No.
She's just watching Grace, incomprehensible, like,
why are you doing this?
The whole team is, like, glammed up, and then Boxer's in, like, a t-shirt and shorts.
Grace looks over her shoulder, presumably, like, I'm imagining she's fucking washing her cloak in a sink. Something utterly deranged like that. And she looks over her shoulder, what you'd call a shoulder on a metahuman. At Ollie, and she seems to think about it for a moment, and she says, well, we are kind of going to a formal meet with our employer, and I don't have my uniform from the School of Magic or my dress. Those are both in Pines, so...
What you're wearing before seems formal enough.
It seems more like the wear of a thug. I don't know if it's quite considered formal to be wearing armor.
I don't see the problem.
Well, she shrugs with her ears and goes back to washing. Not disregarding Ollie, but focusing on the task at hand.
All right, so as the... I imagine you're all making an effort to show up somewhat on time.
I mean...
Yes.
I mean, Cecile... probably ran into a shop, poofed her makeup, and she's ready to go. So yeah, she'll be on time.
Diandere is always on time. You wouldn't insinuate that she wouldn't be on time anyway.
Cecile grabs a grid guide, I imagine, or a green cab, and Diandere takes her bike.
Honestly, probably an automated grid guide. She doesn't want somebody looking at her.
So, and then Boxer and Grace, are you traveling together?
Yes, probably a grid guide. Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. So you all show up more or less at the same time at Stems and Pits, and it's a fancy restaurant in the fancy dining district of downtown Seattle. Your grid guides pull into the circular gravel-covered, you know, pea-sized gravel-covered driveway under the overhang, and the doorman steps out and opens the doors for you, and then looks a little bit surprised as both Boxer and Grace get out of the same grid guide. But he's trained enough in etiquette to quickly mask his confusion. And before you know it, you're all four standing there in front of the door, and he's looking at you. The young man's looking at you. He's wearing sort of this odd uniform with lots of gold braid and buttons. And he says, he looks around, and then his eyes focus on first on Cecile and then on Deandir. They sort of shift to the side to sort of side eye Ollie and Grace, and then looks back and decides that he's going to speak to Deandir and says, do you have a reservation?
I can probably speak for the group. She pulls out her comlink and shows the symbol for Procop.
Ah, I see. Very well. One moment, please. And you see him. He appears to be distracted by something in AR, and he then he sort of flicks an arrow to Cecile, and he says, if you would, your party is waiting for you. The arrow will take you to your room.
Thank you. Have a lovely evening. Cecile just goes and walks in, following the arrows.
Or he bows to you guys as you walk past, and then you follow the arrow, and it goes into the foyer, and then immediately pulls you to the left, so away from the main dining area, down a hallway, and you see a door where there are two, looks like security personnel from Samovar standing there. Grace, you can see immediately that one of them is magically active, one of them's a mage, and the other one is also magically active, but it's probably what the people on this planet call an adept. And they, as you approach, they open the door for you.
Also, I gotta love that Deandir just walked into this restaurant with a sword.
That's not a big deal.
It's just a nice sword, you know?
Cecile's just, like, internally cringing at her compatriots, like, ugh.
Oh, yeah, because Box is wearing what she always wears, right?
Yep. It is torturous, I imagine, to any socialite.
Grace is a horse, so she doesn't really count, but the cloak actually isn't that bad now that it's been, you know, fluffed out and cleaned properly.
Yeah, it probably still had some twigs and grass stuck in it from when you went camping last time.
It was getting kind of messy. Like, to the point where you're like, can I even say that to her? Does she care? But not so much so that you'd have to be like, okay, you need to do something about it. You stink.
Did anybody else bring any weapons or any other gear besides Dinder's sword?
Deal has your comlink, her D&I, and that's it.
Grace would probably have her her Colt holstered underneath the cloak, and her saddlebags underneath the cloak too, with like her comlink and some stuff.
Boxer has her Colt as well in her coat, concealed holster.
You haven't noticeably or visibly gone through any kind of security check, and the door is open in front of you by the security team. The adept opens the door for you and sort of motions you in. It's you enter into a room that's been designed to look sort of like a what you think they are trying to achieve was a cozy, rustic French countryside inn with a big fire going in a flagstone fireplace and timber frames across the ceiling and lots of sort of blue and white tableware. And it's a round table. And at one end is you see Procop sitting. He's sort of slouched down in his chair. He's got a glass of something that he's sipping. And as you enter, he was thoughtfully looking into the flames. And he's the only person in the room. And as you come in, he pulls himself upright and sort of gets out of his slouch and stands up and says, "Ah, welcome, my friends. It's good to see you. Please, have a seat."
I'll go ahead and sit down a little impatiently.
I think Diandere tries to find a seat where her sword won't get in the way of other people.
Good luck.
It's a round table, and it's been set. It's got a nice white tablecloth on it. There's a bunch of what look like real flowers in the middle in a beautiful antique vase, and there's already several plates of hors d'oeuvres, olives and cheeses and crackers and breads and things like that, and a couple of bottles of red wine and white wine. And Prokop says, "It's so good to see you. Please help yourself to anything that you would like. I hope you are hungry. The food is exceptional."
"I'm sure it is."
"Would you like to order anything? I can place an order right away."
"I would prefer to talk business first."
"Ah, well. Always to the business, our friend Cecile." He looks at the rest of the team and says, "How about you? Would you like to, anybody would like to have something to eat or drink, aside from what we have already here?"
"Perhaps after we discuss our work, although me and Cecile don't agree on many other things."
"I would like a chocolate cake."
"Ah."
He'll just side-eyes the horse intensely.
"A chocolate cake. Very well.
Thank you."
He has a little tablet next to him, and he scrolls through it, and you see him typing some stuff rather awkwardly. It's obviously not a forte of his either. And then he says, "Yes, they have excellent desserts here. Would you like a coffee or something with that as well?"
Some water would be nice.
Ah, he reaches over and pulls a clear bottle of water and pours it into the glass for you.
And she takes it and gives her thanks and kind of scrunches down, giving a glance over to Cecile, and waits for her cake.
"My friend Ali, how about you? Would you like some water or would you like something else?"
"Whiskey, if you would."
Ah, he gets up, walks over to a rustic buffet that's at one side of the room and leans over, opens a door, and you hear him muttering him to himself, and then he pulls out a bottle and pours a healthy pour into a nice crystal tumbler and brings it around to you. And then he sits down and he says, "Well, as you have indicated, you would prefer to first speak business. Very well. Let's get to business immediately." And as he says that, the door opens up and a waiter in a white uniform comes in. And in one hand, he's bearing a plate with a single portion-sized chocolate cake on it. And he stops as he enters the room momentarily. And you see that he's somewhat confused by the tableau in front of him. And then Prokop sort of indicates, with just sort of a glance, where the chocolate cake is to go. And somewhat hesitantly, the young waiter places the chocolate cake in front of Grace and does a small bow towards her and then towards Prokop and leaves the room. Yes. So where were we? We were going to talk business. As I mentioned before, I have a job for you. Although I am not the Mr. Johnson, they have requested that I act as such in their place. And the job is rather straightforward. It is a run against Warehouse Alliance. The exact location which you ran against previously.
That's very convenient, but I'm also very busy right now.
This reeks.
The person who has requested this run has requested a team to enter the facility and extract whatever they can, which may indicate or prove that there is illicit activity occurring. I believe that there may also be a bonus if there is any paid data that can be extracted from the site. Specifically, it appears as though our Mr. Johnson is looking for evidence against Warehouse Alliance.
Sounds very simple. What's the catch?
Indeed, very simple. Since you already know the layout of the facility, of course, it also stands to reason that they may still be on alert after your first run against them.
Hmm.
Well, what's the pay?
Ah, well, this is a little bit of a delicate matter. The pay would be 4,000 New Yen for each of you.
4,000? To infiltrate a facility that will be on high alert?
They may be. They may also not be. However,
there's data exfiltration then.
Data and also physical items such as would indicate or prove that there is illegal or illicit activity happening at Warehouse Alliance. There is one other detail which I should mention to you. There is information that Mr. Johnson has provided to me in the form of security codes for Warehouse Alliance. Therefore, it might be somewhat more easy for you to enter than it was the last time you were there.
Hmm. Well, imagine it'll be a different job since it's a data nab.
I don't know if I'm convinced, Brockop. 4K is a little poor for me.
I agree. This is a risky job. We will need more for this.
Okay, so you guys are going to make a negotiation test, it sounds like.
I would like to make a negotiation test.
I say, who's negotiating for the group?
I would like to. I think we'll need at least 6,000.
So negotiation is opposed by negotiation plus charisma.
I think I'm going to edge and reroll. Just reroll it entirely. 6.
Yeah.
So you're able to talk Prokop into an additional 2,000 New Yen for each of you.
Yes, I am trying to do that.
He doesn't seem to be putting up as much of a fight as you thought he might. So, very well, then 6,000 each. Is it agreed upon? I do not believe I can go higher than that with this Mr. Johnson, but this 6,000 shall be acceptable.
It gives them a quick glance, like, you good with this kind of question, but without actually asking it.
Mm-hmm. What was said?
We got him raised for the job, and I was asking, or Deandre is trying to imply that she's asking for a consensus from the group, particularly from Boxer and Cecile.
So how much would that...
I have too much going on right now. Cecile just gets up and leaves.
Wait, how much would that mean? Sorry.
It's 6,000 total. It's 3 of us, 6,000 each. 18,000 for the group, which is 16,000 for the 3 of us. I guess.
6,000 for each of us, you said?
Yeah.
If Cecile just isn't doing the job, I assume that raises a little bit. But we kind of need her because she's... Nightingale immediately gets up and like tries to go after Cecile. Hey, wait!
What?
We need you. You know the computer stuff. And also, you need money. I know you need money.
I don't need money as much as I need to work right now.
What work are you doing?
Can't say. She just continues walking.
Are you going to be all right? Are you going to be safe?
She's not responding.
Cecile.
What, Yindra?
You should stay and eat. It's on Prokop's dime.
That's why I'm not eating.
Well, more for us in any case.
Prokop has not really reacted to this at this point. He's looking at you and he says, well, very well. I believe between the three of you, you should be able to accomplish this mission. Perhaps not the digital intrusion. However, I do have the key codes.
With key codes, this will be a... I think D&D like literally pauses. Like a fox with a rabbit.
Yes, we have that expression too. The fox in the hen house, they say, no?
I guess, but typically when a fox gets you, bring out a shotgun. So wouldn't that imply that it's simple but dangerous?
Ah, depends
on
who
you are.
That
it's going to be fairly simple, at least for me.
He looks around the table, so it is agreed then. So then we can do you have any other questions about this job?
Warehouse Alliance was the place.
Yeah, that's the place we broke the other guy out of. I almost said Fast Jack, but that's because I've been reading too many source books.
Rigor mortis.
Rigor mortis.
Well, Grace is going to eat her cake, and when she can, she's going to text the group that she knows the dirt they need already, and that is they need confirmation that Warehouse Alliance is moving paracritter parts. And she knows they are. She saw it.
The cake is delicious.
Delicious cake. She gives very, very genuine, very, very genuine thanks to Prokop for the cake.
Is it real buttercream frosting?
More than likely. Or ooh, even something better. It might be some kind of ganache or something like that.
A gâteau, perhaps?
That's just cake in French.
She says it's fit for a princess, and she doesn't elaborate on what that means. And she scarfs it down.
Is anybody else ordering anything?
I think D&D is going to like sit down with the menu, actually like order.
Okay. So it's French, right?
Yeah.
It's highfalutin French, and it's the stem in the pit. So it has a lot of very traditional French things with sort of a twist. A Northwest twist, so a lot of the seafood menu is local, and the meat, the proteins are all local. So it's local fish, shellfish. It's locally harvested game.
D'Andre would probably order like a roast tuber salad with like a salmon entree, and have like one glass of white with it.
What's Boxer having?
Steak au pouvoir.
Okay. And, so looks like Prokop's eating some kind of roast rabbit. And he's sort of chatting with you guys, with all three of you, as you're having dinner, and asking you how you've been. And
I actually have another question. How local? Grown in Seattle? Local?
No, not in Seattle. In the environs, like, or maybe... maybe Snohomish and Everett, but there's also a lot of the produce in the game looks like it's sourced from Salishy territory.
Well, Dean there is in symbiosis with Seattle now, so I think throughout various points you see Dean there like flinch almost completely and like stop eating for like a solid 10 seconds to. And then she just goes back to eating.
Whenever this happens, you see Prokop gives you a concerned look the first time. He says, is everything all right?
Have you ever eaten your own hand?
He looks sort of quizzically at you. I do not understand this idiom.
My particular metatype has a sensitivity, one might say. And for me, it's particularly strong with vegetables.
I see.
They are doing it to them in the kitchen.
Well, would you like to send it back? It would be no problem at all if the food is not acceptable.
It's not the food. More like every now and then I feel a flash of feeling like...
So you said feeling like you're being eaten because you cut out.
Alive. Yeah. Yes. Because that is what the vegetables are feeling. And for some, at least, they are still alive.
Indeed. This is a very strange, I don't know how to say it, but sounds like a very strange affliction that you have. What, may I ask, if it is not too forward, what is your metatype?
I think Diandere would say the Baratheon, which is kind of unhelpful. And then she would, like, puzzle for a second and be like, I think it translates to something like a dryad, but it's a little more complicated than that.
Ah, I see. Dryad.
The seal did say dryad to you specifically, not to...
Yeah, Diandere doesn't think that's a correct term, but she is. Like, the spiritual term she uses has some other meanings too, and it doesn't encompass what a dryad is, I guess. You know what really sucks? Have you ever, sensed a gang in the middle of a gunfight on the corner of a street? Because I have. And it's, quite a strange feeling. It's almost like, pins and needles, but not in a part of your... It's, hard to explain.
Indeed. And have you had any new breakthroughs in the search for your brother?
I think Diandere, like, literally clams up at this point and is like, I don't wish to discuss it.
I see.
I'm sorry, but that information is need to know.
I apologize. I have continued to attempt to find the right people to ask your questions to.
If you end up with any leads, be sure to send them to my buddy Brown Dog. He is certainly capable of handling many things.
Ah, yes. Mr. Brown Dog. Well, I will do so, if that is your wish. He doesn't seem all that convinced by that suggestion.
Oh, well.
And as Grace is finishing her chocolate cake, he looks over at Grace and he says, "How was the chocolate cake?"
Oh, it was great, Prokop. I really, really liked it. Thank you. I didn't realize how hungry I was.
Yeah, I am glad you enjoyed it. I wish to extend an apology to you. I have been told that certain people around me may have acted in a manner which was somewhat intimidating on our last meeting. This is not the way I wish things to be done.
Who is he talking about? He's talking about what's her name, right?
Yeah.
What is her name? Why did I feel so stupid that I forgot it? I know who she is. She's the door woman.
It's Nadia.
But she seems kind of taken aback by it, and she gives him a look, and she like very obviously looks around. Wait, where did you hear that from?
And he smiles at you and says, Nadia and I do not have any secrets between us. She told me that you saw her in a different form and that you were, shall we say, somewhat startled by it.
Yeah, I was confused. I wanted to ask about that, but I didn't know if it would be appropriate. So I didn't, and the opportunity passed. What was that, if I can ask?
He sort of, as you say that, he sort of looks away and looks to Boxer, and he says, "And how is the salmon, Miss Ali?"
Quite good, thank you.
There is a thunk as Grace pulls out her grimoire and opens it up on the table.
And Prokop says to continues talking to Boxer or to Ollie and says, I hear that you are working with at the clinic in your neighborhood.
I am indeed.
Very noble of you.
Yes, well, thank you.
Dedicate your time to your community.
We have to sleep somehow. On that subject, there's something I would like to speak with you with, about you with.
I see.
Assistance.
The doctor who runs that clinic, her name is Kaylee, right?
Lorraine, yes.
And how is she doing?
Well, why do you ask?
He gives that smile that he sometimes does that sort of is slightly at odds with his very open and familiar character, and he says, it is for another time, but my concern with Miss Kaylee is purely benevolent. I appreciate what she does for the neighborhood, and I like to keep an eye on such endeavors. They are rare in the PEX.
Does she mask her aura? Grace suddenly blurts out.
He looks at you. He looks at Grace and he smiles again and he says, indeed, she masks her aura. However, she is also a trickster and sometimes likes to play games with my guests.
So the metahuman form is an illusion. Or it's a spell. I need to talk to her.
There are some things which, well, we shall see. For the moment, this is probably not going to happen.
Grace is like leaning back and forth on the seat now, and she very clearly has the wind like knocked out of her cells whenever he puts down her ambitions, and she closes her Grimmire and just says, "All right, I understand."
He seems to relent a little bit, and he says, "If you are specifically looking for these skills for masking, as you call it, possibly I can help you with that. Not me personally, obviously, but I will be able to find somebody. But I would say not Nadja."
Oh, actually, I need a lot of people. I need magical contacts. My guy, he put me in with what are they called?
It's the hermetic aura of the auric aurora.
He put me in with the hermetic aura of the auric aurora, and they didn't give me a great first impression.
Ah, you have been in contact with the hermetic order. Well, they are an order that is mainly dedicated to the scholarly study of magic, and they are not really very flexible in their worldview, if you understand what I mean. So I imagine that your presence in their midst was probably somewhat startling, and they were not able to react adequately to it,
mm-hmm.
lacking the background in the practical matters of magic, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
However, I know nothing of these things. I only know of the order. I only know of the order through hearing, and of course I know their leader.
Well, I was going to ask, at some point, if you have any contacts who could help me learn more about metahuman magic and perhaps expand my own horizons, it would be much appreciated.
Very well. I will ask about, but as I said, it will not be Nadja, and I do not want to say stay away from her, but at the same time, she is a strange one.
Yes, sir. I understand, sir.
Then he looks back at Ollie and says, so you were saying you had something that you wishes to discuss.
Yes. People I have a responsibility for are being harassed by humanist polycop members. I prefer to deal with them at the root of the issue. Unfortunately, local law enforcement is uncooperative, and I suspect they are corrupt. I want resources to investigate and, if necessary, deal with this corruption. I believe that this can be...
If you're taking volunteers, I'm always up for ratting out go-go-go's.
Your help would be appreciated. This issue, I am concerned that the humanist efforts will soon become violent.
This is troubling indeed. I have no respect for these type of people. I do not know why they continue to be supported by the government of the Seattle Metroplex. It is troubling.
I think it's important to say that these people are they're actual polyclub clubbers. They're organized. One of my contacts told me as much. They aren't just thugs that are working with some racist cops. It's well, I don't know. I don't know what all Boxer knows, but
Jake, that's right. Jake told you that he would look into it, but that he had heard that there was some kind of effort or initiative happening in Auburn.
They're doing something, and it's being planned top down. I don't know what Boxer has been seeing on the ground, because I haven't been going out, and she's often so tired whenever she gets in, but it seems concerning, like really concerning.
We can talk about it later. Mm-hmm. This, I promise. You can sit me down, interview me all you want.
Okay.
That's actually a pretty good data point for Ollie. I would imagine that she's probably sort of surprised to hear it from Grace all of a sudden here.
She's in protect the horse from the horrors of the world mode.
The poor horse.
Little does she know.
Little does she know.
Little does she know that the horse is a little horror of the world.
And the horse is friends with racists.
Mm. Prokop gives Grace an appraising look after that comment as well and says, well, you are very well informed.
Thank you.
He looks at Boxer again and he says, I will indeed make some requests for information. As I said, I have some interests in the neighborhood as well, and I do not wish to see trouble occurring for my... You think he was about to say my friend, and then he sort of stops himself and then he says... For the clinic.
Either way,
Boxer will remember this.
If we stop it, it means less gang violence in the area, which means less allergies for me.
I'm not even going to pretend I understand how any of that works.
You don't have to.
Can I sense be in there?
Is she difficult to sense?
No, that has nothing to do with it. It's only whenever you try and enact magic on her that her magic resistance kicks in. I rolled a 3, which means I'd probably be able to tell that she's symbiotic and that, like, she has her health is directly connected to the environment around her.
I imagine it probably looks more like Dindare is, like, larger on the astral, like, her essence is kind of intermingling with the area around her. Sitting inside of her body.
Mm.
Yeah, since you've probably never sensed her before, this is probably an interesting thing for Grace to discover.
Yeah, it does look interesting, very interesting. And she'd probably, like, cock an eyebrow. The Grimwire opens again, and she's scribbling on the pages.
One of the weird... like side effects of Diandere's eye glamour is that you can never really tell where she's looking, but you definitely see the like stars in the reflections of her eyes if like she changes where she's looking.
Wait, what do her eyes look like?
They're it's like the stars reflecting in a pool at night.
Oh, it's very pretty.
As the as you guys finish eating and dinner winds down, Prokop asks, well, can I interest you in some dessert? And then he looks at Grace and he says, except for you, you must watch your figure. You already had a cake.
It's okay. You can have some of mine.
Then he laughs and he says, I'm kidding. I kid.
You can't have any of mine anymore.
Mm. Oh, but it always tastes better whenever you share.
They have a really good dessert here that I enjoy quite a bit. It is called... Let me figure this out. Il flotando. It's sort of a meringue kind of dish that is floating on a type of custard. They make it very well here.
And that doesn't contain meat?
It does not contain meat. It is dairy, though.
Dairy's fine.
Certainly be less alive than a salad.
Yes, it is egg whites and cream and egg yolks.
Oh, Deander saying that says that fully having eaten salad before, in this meal, so she definitely gets one, and she orders a coffee, too.
All right. Desserts are brought out, and they're delicious and delicate and subtle in a way, and Prokop is obviously enjoying his as he looks around and sort of is making sure that everybody else is happy with their dessert as well. He seems to be just sort of enjoying himself.
It always tastes better when you share. Pink.
Ah, is this a special wisdom of your people?
I suppose so. Yeah.
Interesting. We shall have to have a talk sometime. I am interested to hear where you are from and what your people are like.
I'm not used to people asking that question, if you'd believe me. We'll talk about it, definitely. I think most people just assume that I am, I don't know, a deformed centaur, perhaps.
I see.
I think about two-thirds of the way through her dessert, Deandre starts having a sneezing fit, and after, 30 seconds, it dies down, and then she just, without break, says, "There was an oil fire in the kitchen." And yes, being able to sense fires in the area is within...
Specifically fires.
It's within 1,000 meters of... Or 5,000 times essence. 3 essence. So 1.5 kilometers.
There is a fire in the kitchen now? Or there was a fire in the kitchen?
There was. It was a grease fire, I think. It felt like one.
I see.
Wait. You can feel fires?
Only within about a kilometer. Sometimes a little more.
Oh.
It's very unpleasant.
You can tell what kind of fire it is?
It's all about the texture.
Wow. That sounds really unpleasant.
It is.
What about controlled fires, like the fire in a fireplace?
It's have you ever eaten too much wasabi?
Ever eaten wasabi? What is that?
Well, modern wasabi is more like horseradish. If you've ever eaten that and some green dye. But when you eat too much of it, you get a tingle in the back of your sinuses. Do horses have sinuses?
She touches her nose with one of her forehooves.
Well, it's like a tingle in your sinuses. I found it, surprisingly, there is an allergy medicine for it, but it's not that good.
Well, is there anything we can do to help?
Unless you're going to drag me away from Seattle for 6 months. No.
Oh,
or you're going to put out every fire with a kilometer of me whenever, wherever I am. Both,
I was going to suggest that if it has to do with where you live,
At this point, one of the wait staff, two of the wait staff comes in. It looks like Prokop called them with the tablet, and he says, "Well, we should extinguish the fire then, right?"
It went out a while ago. It was a grease fire on the stove.
No, there's a fireplace in the room, and there's a fire actually in the room.
Yeah, that fire is. It causes me less discomfort than it brings the rest of you, so I'll live with it.
Prokop doesn't look entirely happy about the situation, but he ultimately sends the two people away that had come in to assist with the extinguishing the fire. He says, "Well, in any case, then I feel it is best that we conclude our dinner, as pleasant as it has been." And he takes out a data stick and lays it on the table in front of Deander, and he says, These are the codes for the locks, the mag locks and security terminals in the Warehouse Alliance facility. They will be active for another 5 days before the they cycle out.
I think Diandera, like, forgets for a second that she doesn't have pockets and didn't bring a purse with her as she's holding it, and then just sticks it in her bra, basically.
He says, well, if there is anything else that you need, don't hesitate to contact me. I am very grateful for you spending the time with me tonight, and I hope you enjoyed your dinner.
Can I get some cookies?
Cookies to go. Very well.
Thank you.
As you guys are leaving, one of the waiters is standing at the door, and as you're exiting, he starts to hand you the packet. He's holding a very finely wrapped package in some pink and blue craft paper, and he starts to hand it to you, and then sort of realizes that you don't have any hands to hand it off to, and sort of flustered, hands it to Boxer.
She takes it from his hand with her magic, and like noms onto the lip of the package, and she just carries it in her mouth like a dog.
He steps back quickly and looks around as if to see if anybody else saw it, and then
Boxer just grins at him. She has very sharp teeth.
Which he goes pale and scurries off. All right. Well, that concludes our business for tonight, unless you wanted to, there were anything else that you wanted to attend to.
I wanted to text the party that I already know what dirt we have on, what dirt we can get for Warehouse Alliance. They are moving and possibly also running an operation to, like, extract and gather paracritter, like poach paracritters. And I'm pretty sure that's very illegal.
Did you, are you including Cecile in the text?
This would be our, like, the team chat. So, yeah, she would be included.
Either way, I imagine we would appreciate data. So, infiltration and exfiltration will be required.
Yeah, I think the very specific request, I think Prokop said it twice, was that physical items, you know, as many physical items of whatever variety and nature that you can find.
This will be a fun one. I get to actually use all of Diandere's stealth stuff now.
Yeah.